Good morning. It's wonderful to see everybody here today. We welcome you to the Highland Hill Church of Christ. We do have a number of visitors. We're particularly glad you're here. And for your benefit, I am not Shane Hines. We will see Shane a little later in the service. But I'll kind of kick off our sharing of our vision for 2010 with the congregation this morning. The ideas that you're going to see this morning have been developed over the last couple of months in conjunction with the shepherds working with Shane and with our ministry leaders. We sought their input for their ministries, as well as their overall input for the direction of the congregation 2010, and we appreciate the input that they have given us. I'll kind of kick things off, and Shane will bring it up in a few minutes with a few more details. Question we ask ourselves is, where do we go from here? We've been active in a number of areas the last two or three years, and we wanted to build on that where possible, and that was kind of the suggestions we got from our ministry leaders. We think we've had some success, certainly in the last couple of years. And each year we sit down, we the shepherds, along with Shane, and think about, you know, where we want to go for the coming year, what kind of theme do we want to have, in addition to our regular work and worship here. So we think it is important to build on past success. We want to share some of those past successes. Where do we go from here? The working group that we had a couple of years ago suggested that we do more in reaching out in the way of ministry to our local community, and also that we do more to try to involve all our members in that local ministry. And I think we saw quite a bit of success in 2009 through our Kingdom Assignment efforts. We had three phases of that. Many of you participated in that. Many of you brought many novel ideas and worked hard in reaching out to community endeavors and endeavors here in our regular work. A couple of things have kind of come to play this last year that have affected our thinking. Also, the economy, as we all know, has been kind of not too good. More people are out of work. More people are needing assistance. And we have had a kind of an open heart to the community. Many have come to our doors for financial assistance for the necessities of life. This past year, we have spent something around $9,000 out of our treasury to provide local support to people that came to our door. More than 80 families came seeking aid, and many of those came more than one time. As you know, they need help with rent, with utilities, with food, with medicine, with transportation, and we have always in this congregation had an open heart to those that come to us in need. So as we were thinking about 2010, we thought, well, how can we build on this to increase our influence in the spiritual needs of our community in 2010? Therefore, what you'll see today is building upon what we saw is that opportunity. You know, I haven't had the privilege of being on an ocean liner and looking up and seeing an iceberg. Maybe some of you have, but as we all know, What we see, there's a lot more to it than what meets the eye. What we see is above the water. The largest part of the iceberg is below the water. And we thought that was a good visual of what we're dealing with as we deal with people that come to us for help. They come seeking money for rent. They come seeking money to pay utility bills. But we know in all those lives, there's much more, many more needs than what we see. Not just financial needs, but spiritual needs, but training needs, educational needs. And we want to try to do more in looking at those needs in 2010. One of our ministry leaders kind of put it this way, that, you know, they come to us seeking fish, but how much better it would be if we could teach them to fish. And of course, we've all heard that expression before. But we think it's really appropriate in terms of the people that come to us for assistance. If we can provide in some manner some life-changing behavior, particularly in their spiritual lives, what a blessing that could be to them. The biblical example of well-rounded growth, of course, is the statement of Luke 2:52, where we're told that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And we would dearly love to be able to help broaden the lives of all the people that come to us, more than just handing and giving them something to meet their physical needs. If we can provide some tutoring, if we can help them with a resume, if we can help them find employment, those kind of things, as well as help them grow closer to God through Bible study. All of those things help to develop the well-rounded individual. Okay, not quite what I was expecting, but that's okay. I wanted to look at another scripture. If we ask, if we're asking others to grow, those who come to us, it will require us to grow as well. We'll have to grow in terms of our commitment to service, in terms of our financial commitment, in terms of our commitment to this ministry. And we will also have to, let me back up and read 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. To me, this scripture sets a lofty standard for Christians. Why do we want to help others? Because we have been helped. Because as Christ followers, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, belonging to God, called out of darkness, having received mercy. And in 1 Peter 4, 10, 11, we find each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Our level of commitment will need to grow. We all need to be participants in this ministry, because we have different gifts. Different gifts will be needed to help the people as they come to us. Someone may need to be encouragers, some tutors, some providing financial guidance, others to teach some computer skills and provide a Bible study. And finally, we will need to meet the growing financial requirements. 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19, Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. We our congregation is very rich compared to most of the world. We all know that, I believe. We say that. And Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage those who he's come in contact with in very strong language. He says, command them not to put their hope in wealth, but to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In the Message, I looked at several translations for this particular passage, and I like the way the Message talks about the generosity. It says to be extravagantly generous is what Paul is commanding those to whom Timothy is preaching. We will need to make some financial commitments to meet our regular budget, to meet the outreach to the community, to meet what we want to do with youth activities. We will have to make some financial commitment. Our budget, we took the input from all our ministry leaders, what they needed to for their ministries, plus the building utilities and payment, plus salaries. And this is what the number comes out, $4,850 a week. We averaged about $4,300 in 2009. So that's about $550 more per week than we collected last year. And, you know, I know people don't like to hear talk about money. I know that's and believe me, you know, we stand up here every year and talk about this. It's not, I don't like to talk about it. It kind of makes me nervous because I know it makes you nervous. But it needs to be done, and we need to talk about it. We need to know what the needs are and to be challenged about how we might meet those needs. You know, I thought of, it could be any number of things, but I thought of three, as shepherds, you know, why do we continually mention, why do we ask Shane to preach on this? Why do we continue to mention our giving? Aren't we giving generously? Some are, some may not be. You know, it's between you and God what you're giving, only you know that. But let me tell you just three reasons why we feel the need to talk about it. Number one, the buck stops with us. When the building payment comes due, when Shane kind of likes to get a check every week, you know, there's not a lot of extra in this budget. We have a few thousand dollars in there for benevolence, a few thousand in there for mission work. It's not like we have a grand scheme that we've put on top of meeting the daily operational needs. The buck kind of stops with us, so we have an interest in paying the bills. The second thing is, more than you do, we see the needs because we know the people that come through this building every day and how much they need. We see the letters of missionaries begging for support. We see the letters from many good works that most of which we have to turn down because we don't have the resources. But we more than you perhaps see our every day the needs that come before us and the needs that could be met if we had more resources. But the third reason that we stand up here frequently and at least once a year and kind of talk about this is it's the spiritual need that we all have in our lives. It's what the Bible says over and over, the Old Testament examples and New Testament passages about how we should give, how our attitude toward our financial blessings, our attitude toward giving, that we should give generously, that we should give freely, that we should give with happy heart. The blessings that are promised through our giving. It's those things that we want everyone to experience. The blessings we have for opening our heart and being generous toward the Lord's work. I want to just give one little example. I don't know what most of you give. Ward sees the checks. I don't count the contribution. But let me just give an example. Our budget next year for $4,850 a week. We have about 40 families here. So on average, that's about $120 a family. Now, if you'll think about your family, do you consider yourself an average family? I mean, do you drive an average car? Do you live in an average house? Figure your income about average? Well, if you truly are average, and you gave $120 a week, and everybody did that, you know, we would meet our budget. But we know that some have more than others. Some can give more than 120. Some can give very generously and give much less than 120. We're not trying to judge you on what you give. But I just wanted to try to get you to think about, do I live an average life? Is my lifestyle average? Is my contribution at least meet my lifestyle? Please think about that. Please be challenged by that. It's nothing to me but what you give. We want to meet our budget. We want to see the good works happen. But the most important thing is I would ask you to do is to do a self-examination. We ask you each year to examine yourselves. Am I putting the same X number of dollars in the collection plate today that I put 10 years ago, that I put 5 years ago? Has my lifestyle changed? Am I living better? Am I driving better cars, living in a better house, and yet I'm still contributing enough? I don't know. I can't answer that question for you. And I don't know your situation, but I just hope that we will each examine ourselves and consider what we can do to help us meet this budget for 2010. I thank you, and Brother Shane has kind of come up and bring a little more enthusiasm to the presentation.
Well, for your benefit, I am Shane Hines. And I don't know if I can bring more enthusiasm, but I do have to apologize to Earl. There was a point in his portion where it seemed that he was confused, and that's because there were some slides missing that I was responsible for making sure that were in there. And with all the revisions back and forth, I ended up putting the wrong revision in there. I am sorry. Those scriptures should have shown up there. But you will have a copy of the presentation. All of the slides that we have up there, there's a copy of them we'll hand out at the end. So if you're worried about taking notes, don't worry about that. Just soak it all in, and then you'll get all of the information to take home with you. You know, as we go forward with this, you know, and to our visitors this morning, I want to let you know there's not really a more exciting day to be here than when we present our vision for the coming year. Because what a better way to get an idea of what this church stands for. What a better way to get an idea of what the ministry of this congregation is all about. If you ever visit somewhere and you hear a great sermon, you sing some great songs and you pray and you have communion, but you never really get a feel for what's this congregation really about? Well, this is what we are really about. You know, there are some things that we do just like every other church of Christ. And there are some things that we try to do to set ourselves apart from just every other church. And what we try to do to set ourselves apart is to make a difference. The sad fact of the matter is, and you can know this from the state of the economy, you can know this from the state of education, from whatever it is. Look at our society. The church is missing out on being relevant in a lot of places, in a lot of our society. Well, Highland Hills, that's not good enough for us. It's not good enough for us just to come here and to sing songs that we all know and to say prayers that we've all heard and to listen to sermons that anybody could write. It's not good enough for us to do that. We want to be relevant. We want to be a church that is not necessarily just growing by leaps and bounds in numbers, but we want to be a church that is making a difference in the lives of people that need Jesus. That's what we're about here. And that's what today is about. And I hope that we all get as fired up as I am, as Earl and Ward and Bill are about this. I know my grammar's horrible, but I hope we all get as fired up as we be about this thing. I always can tell when Tommy cringes and Janice like, oh man. But I hope we do. I hope we get excited about the opportunities that Jesus puts in front of us. Because if we're not, then why don't we just stop praying for God to use us? Raise your hand if you just want to stop praying for God to use us in a mighty way. Okay, well, we're not going to do that, are we? So what are we going to do about it? See, people come here. We all come here. And on the inside, we look just like that. There's something missing. There's pieces of us missing. Now, we have people every week come into this building, and like Earl pointed out, that need, whether it's help with rent or help with this or help with that, and there's pieces of their life missing. And so, you know, part of what we want to do is kind of put a, I don't want to call it a slogan or, but just sort of put something to this, put a name to this. So one of the things that we've come up with is Mission Tullahoma 2010. And we're going to be meeting the needs of people with the heart of Christ. You see, Christ was not judgmental, but what Christ did was He met people's needs where they were. Now, sometimes those needs were to have a mirror shown up to their face because, you know, Jesus in John chapter 4 told a woman, you know, look, there's some changes you need to make in your life. You know, go tell your husband. Well, I don't really have a husband. You're right. You've had four husbands. And the guy you're living with now is not your husband. You know, sometimes we need to tell people there are some changes to your life that need to be made. But we're gonna love them. And we're going to meet those needs with the heart of Christ. Now, we've taken our loving God, sharing Christ, serving others, and transforming lives. And that's kind of like the rays of the sun and the cross there. But that's what we want to be, is a church that this year shows Tullahoma that yeah, we'll go to Katrina. We'll go to New Orleans and we'll rebuild houses there. And we'll go to Honduras and we'll support Prednisone. And we'll send money to people that are in Brazil or wherever. But you know what? Tullahoma is our mission field first and foremost. And what we want to do is we want to be all about developing the whole person in 2010. We want to be a church that when people come to this building and they say, hey, I need this financial situation met, or I need this spiritual thing, you know, whatever it is, understand that, like what Earl said, there's more than meets the eye. There's a whole lot more to that life underneath the current need. You know, part of that meeting the whole person is going to be physical needs. You know, physical needs like home repair, food, meals, clothing, school supplies, job training. There's a lot of physical needs that we have to meet. Intellectual needs. You know, the whole person involves feeding someone's brain and helping them learn. Tutoring adults, teens, children, resume services. Bible studies, involvement. There's social needs that need to be met. Developing friendships with people. One of my spiritual mentors in ministry says that people will not care how much, they won't care about your God until they know that you care about their friendship. Until we want to be friends with people, they're not going to listen to anything that we have to say about God or religion or anything. So we have to meet social needs, employment networking, mentoring, preschool scholarships, mentoring teens. And then obviously the spiritual needs that need to be met, whether it's through Bible studies, through what we're doing today, worshiping, visitation, youth group, mission trips. All sorts of things go into that circle of developing the whole person so that we can grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, so we can grow physically, spiritually, intellectually, and socially. Developing the whole purpose, the whole person, this ministry purpose is going to require that all ministries work towards the same goal. It won't be good enough for us for each ministry, you know, the ministries that we're a part of to be tugging on different ropes. We all have to be tugging on the same rope, going in the same direction, understanding that when people come here, that we all have some kind of a role to play in the life of that person and making sure that that whole person is grown this year. So you might ask yourself, how do I get involved? How do I help out in this area? Well, one of the things that we have to understand is there are 13 individual ministries that happen on a daily basis throughout this through this congregation. This is the rubber meeting the road right here. 13 opportunities through the established, organized, and purpose-filled ministries that go on here. And here are a list of all of the ministries and the leaders. We have education, preschool, and you can read that list and understand that those are organized, purposeful, directed, guided, led ministries that happen here. And I promise you, each one of them come into play as it pertains to meeting the needs. So how do we do this? How do we, where can your ministry serve in this focus? So for this slide right here is speaking directly to the ministry leaders. You know, if you're a ministry leader, well, how do I meet, in those four circles, where do I go? Well, physical needs, facilities, men's ministries, missions. If someone has a physical need, let's say they come and they need help for, my car broke down. Well, there are men and women in this congregation know how to work on cars. Maybe we can, instead of just throwing money at a problem, say, okay, here's $50, go down here to Grammer's Auto and get your car worked on. Maybe we can show up and help work on something and in turn form a relationship with this person. Maybe while their car's getting worked on, we can drive them here or there or whatever, give them a ride. You see how the social part of that starts to come into play? Instead of just saying, here you go, here's $50, go, Godspeed to you. But either way, facilities, missions, local outreach, ladies ministry, all of those have an opportunity to serve in physical, to meet physical needs. Intellectual needs, our education ministry, our preschool ministry, again with ladies ministry, men's ministry, our technology ministry, all of those ministries have an opportunity when it comes to meeting the intellectual needs, social needs that people have. Our fellowship ministry, Lori does a great job of planning and putting together, our fellowship meals and those sort of things. A great time to get people together. To fellowship and to learn about each other and to grow socially. You know, while we do that, the ladies ministry, the men's ministry, the visitation ministry, what an opportunity to make sure that when we have those social fellowship opportunities, that people from our community, people that have come here for help, are here for those things. You know, we have a meal every Wednesday night. That's going to meet a physical need for some people that might be hungry. And when they get here, what a great opportunity for the other ministries to get involved in their life and to direct people and say, hey, here's someone who came and they needed help or they're hungry and we're feeding them. Why don't you go find out a little bit about their life? Why don't you go sit next to them and get to know them? In spiritual ministry, obviously the pulpit's going to be a huge part of that. Our education, our worship, again with visitation. But as you see, each ministry has an opportunity to get involved and to meet the needs of the whole person. You know, the ministries of Highland Hills, the ministry leaders, those are not figurehead positions. Those are not just titles like so many ambassadors to so many countries that are never, ever going to come into play. You know, there's so many jobs, whether it's in government or business, that you just get a title and you get called something and you never really have to do anything. Well, ministry leaders at Highland Hills, that's not the case. Because you got a job, you got a purpose, you got a focus when it comes to meeting the needs and developing the whole person. And if you're not a ministry leader, you don't get to sit back and say, whew, well, I dodged a bullet there, because they can't do it all. They need support. They need people. They need to know when they come to your house or make that phone call and say, hey, we've got this situation. When Howard calls and says, hey, men, we have a men's ministry situation where, you know, somebody has a tree down in their yard, or they have a broken down car, or they have something happens. We need to go to a camp and help clean up brush. You know what? Howard's not going to get a whole lot of, oh man, here comes Howard again. Howard's going to get support. Howard's going to get a caravan, a car showing up on a Saturday to go out to Camp Joy to cut down trees and brush. And for me to get to ride on a lawnmower for 8 hours, you know, because that's how I roll. We need to be able to support one another. So what's a working model of this? Always remember, there's more than meets the eye. Each person that comes to Highland Hills for help represents a life circumstance that brought that person here. You know, one of the things in ministry that I like to say is there's always upstream issues of the pollution right now. You know, there is in Evansville, Indiana, where I went to high school, there is a riverfront that is just a beautiful downtown riverfront area. And the water is just absolutely pristine in the Ohio River for about 3 miles as it comes through Evansville. Well, you know why? Because about a mile ahead of all that is a water treatment plant. And so it takes in water and it cleans the water right there. But before that is all kinds of factories and all kinds of things that pollute the water. Well, see, right there at that point, they're taking care of a lot of pollution in the Ohio River. And it's polluted before and it gets polluted after. But right there, they're dealing with a whole lot of issues of pollution that affect that place in the river. Well, what would happen if you go upstream of downtown Evansville and you shut down this factory, or you close that construction site that's making all of this sediment go? You know, if you take care of all of the issues upstream that are polluting the river as it comes along, then guess what? You don't have to work so hard right there a mile from downtown Evansville. You see, there are upstream issues in people's life that bring them to this place. Fran, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You deal with people every day that have this, you know, manifested problem, well, that come from all kinds of abuse, all kinds of other issues. And so much of the problems that people come to our door with aren't necessarily the problem. And we can cure the symptom, or we can affect the symptom. But if we get down below the surface, if we will take time to get to know people, if we will take time to try to meet the needs of the whole person, instead of just being the needs, being the symptoms, the ministry can cure the cause of all of those problems. You see, because it's one of the things, if we want to be a relevant church, we can't just change current circumstances. We can't. That doesn't work. You know, you can't try to change someone's right now. We want to try to change their life. We want to try to help teach them what decisions got you to where you are. So let's make better decisions. What lack do you have that's causing this? So maybe we can fill that need, that upstream need that's gonna keep this from being a reoccurrence in your life. You see, meeting the obvious needs usually don't solve the problem. Needs are the symptom. Ministry is the cure. Helping people grow, that's the cure. So what we want to look at is our benevolence ministry is a starting point. Each one of our ministries, each of our 13 ministries is a starting point. But our benevolence ministry is one that we see a lot of activity in. And this is just a possible blueprint for the ministries, for the other ministries that we do. So as we look through this working model, as we look through this possible blueprint for the ministry leaders, think, well, how could I align my ministry that way in order to meet the needs of the whole person? And if you're not a ministry leader, think, how can I get involved in that working model? We need to know people's names, where they live, what their circumstances are. We need to know spiritual backgrounds. One of the things that we want to do as a working model in the benevolence ministry is not just find out what someone's current need is. We want to find out as much about that person as we can. We want to find out, if there's any interest in attending Bible studies. We want to find out what that individual is willing to do on their behalf. Are they willing to attend classes, come to Bible studies, work towards ending destructive behavior? Are they willing to come to church? Are they willing to come and be a part of a group of people that are going to be a positive influence on their lives? What are they willing to do? Another part of that working model is the information that we gather in the benevolence ministry, the information that Bill gets from people that come here needing help. Well, we're going to assimilate that in the church office, make it available to all the ministers and the ministry leaders, the shepherds, and based on the critical information that we have, if there's a situation that's causing need, then we're going to get that information out to the ministry leaders that can do something about it. Ministry leaders are contacting individual members that have volunteered to serve. Each person coming to the building that needs help will be giving a packet of information about Highland Hills and what we are about, what God wants for them, and the fact that God has brought them to this place. One of the things that we want people to understand is whatever problem they are facing, it can either be a stumbling block or it can be a step up. If you look at it as a problem, then that's going to be something to stumble over. But if we look at that as an opportunity to depend on and to trust and to come to know God more, and that's why they're here. So we're going to let them know that. Each ministry leader will be asked to identify what they can do specifically to contribute to supporting this effort. Some examples, let me go back. Some examples, children's ministry. Invite children identified in this interview form to special activities. If we have a family that comes and needs help and we end up helping them and they have kids, well, it's going to be incumbent upon that children's ministry to contact that family and say, hey, we're having this children's ministry event. Can your kids come? And maybe the outreach minister is going to have to go pick those kids up and bring them here. Or maybe the men's ministry leader is going to call somebody and say, hey, men, we have a children's ministry event and Denny wants kids here and they don't have a ride. Terry, can you come pick them up? Ladies ministry, offer help with job applications, skills training, all kinds of things. Local outreach, use the database for making contacts for BPS, Friends Day, seminars. Develop an updated list of members who are willing to support each ministry. So what can you do today? As we bring this whole thing in for a landing, as we, just kind of ask that question, what can I do today? Shane, you and Earl, you've stoked the fires. You've got us all fired up. What do we, man, we just want to go out and conquer the world. What can we do today? Well, that's simple. Very easy. And I love simple answers. I love it when I don't have to think about stuff. I love it when it's just spoon-fed to me. Then sign up to be a part of one of these 13 ministries. You see, today is a very specifically different day than maybe you've ever experienced in the history of Highland Hills Church of Christ. You see, because today is a day that when you go out into the foyer today, and you'll see on that the round table, there's a piece of paper for each one of these ministries listed. And there are some names that are pre-printed on those lists because we've signed up for stuff before, and man, I want to be a part of this, I want to be a part of that. So what you can do today is go around that table and edit those papers. If your name is on something that, you know what, you thought, I really don't want to be a part of that. I don't think that's where I'm really called. I really want to be a part of it. Scratch your name out and write it somewhere else. If you want to be a part of, you know, what today is all about is make sure that you are positioned to be contacted for where you believe God is calling you to serve. And guess what's going to happen? You're going to be called. You're going to be contacted. You might have signed up for things that in the past to be helped, to help out in this area, and no one ever said a word about it. Well, that's not going to happen again. Because we have a group of ministry leaders who are being held accountable, who are involved in the ministries of this church, and want to make a difference. Now, that's not to say that in days past that wasn't the case. In times past, maybe we weren't as organized. In days past, maybe we weren't as accountable. In times past, maybe, you know, we didn't see the need or the direction as vividly as we do today. But make sure when you leave here that you are in a place on one of those ministries that you want to be served, because you're going to be contacted. Because let me tell you something, there are opportunities. You've read in the Bible where it said the fields are ripe for harvest. Let me tell you, they're ripe. Absolutely ripe. The question that we have to ask ourselves, and those are people. When it talks about the fields are ripe for harvest, it's talking about people's lives. It's talking about people who Jesus Christ came to this earth, left heaven, came here, lived perfectly, suffered a horrific death on the cross for those individuals. That's what we're talking about. Now, are we going to let them rot on the vine? Or are we going to harvest them? Are we going to meet those needs? Or are we going to be so consumed with our own social financial standing that we're going to let people suffer? No more. No more. So today, the answer is simple. Pick somewhere that you want to be involved and sit by the phone, because it won't be long. It won't be long. And you really don't have to sit by the phone. You just put it in your pocket and take it with you. But you will be called and you will have an opportunity to serve. This morning, the call is not necessarily to commit your life to Christ in a forgive me for my sins kind of way. It isn't a call to confess Christ as Lord and Savior and to be baptized for the remission of your sin. Because as I look through this audience, most of us have made that commitment. Most of us have called on Christ to be our Savior. The call today is to not only make Christ your Savior, but as you've heard me say before, to make Christ your Lord. And say, Lord, You are going to rule my life. I'm going to put my name on a piece of paper that talks about a ministry, and I'm going to anticipate and expect a phone call, and I'm going to serve with joy and gladness. That's the gospel call this morning. Would you consider that as together we stand and as we sing?